The two churches I serve are Esperance and Carlisle, and one is at 9:30 and the other is at 11. There's not a lot of travel time. It only takes about 12 minutes between the churches, but you know, I've got to have everything pretty well organized as far as my time. So I don't preach from notes. I use memory pegs, a silver device, and I like that. I, you know, being chained to paper is just... So in the course of that, I've timed my, got my head timing down pretty well, so between 12 and 15, I wind it up. This is an exotic thing. Vegas, you know, you can do stuff in Vegas you can't do anyplace else in the world. I did something really wild for a Saturday night, Sunday morning, last night. I went to bed early, and I slept in this morning. Whoa! Preacher's concept of sin, you know, it's just like slothfulness. It's terrific. And now I'm speaking for more than 14 minutes on a Sunday morning. All right, you know, this is great. I'm reveling in this stuff. Anyway, I've always thought living by your wits is a good way to live, to use them, use the wits God gave you. And if you think of wit as an acronym, you've got it. Because that, this to me is really the essence of the methodology. It's W-I-T, what it takes. Live by your wits. Emulate people like Jim. If you don't want to have a hat or a drawl, that's okay. But don't just look at a foreign shipper and say, "Well, there's nothing I can do about that." I mean, who can know about a foreign shipper? There may doggone well be something you can do about that if you use what's there. People begged Howard for all kinds of adjustment things early on. But if I don't have pars, if I don't have this, if I don't have that, said, look at the racing form. Use what's there. It's all we need. What's there and what's there. And it takes both. As a person who was both rather ignorant of, I'll be honest, very ignorant of thoroughbred racing, because I started out being much more interested in harness horses. You know, thoroughbreds are the sport of kings, harness horses, the sport of farmers. Well, I'm from a rural area, so it was the sport of farmers, the county fair circuit, kind of watching the trotters and pacers. I enjoyed that a lot. I got to where I could break even at Saratoga Harness, but I never had been to Saratoga Flat Track. I started out with the methodology, and Howard still shakes his head over this, but I didn't know where a second call was in a route. And I would read his material. I read Old Yeller there, you know, and how energy distribution essentially is different, how the feet per second velocities will show you the horse is really decelerating differently. If you look at those first graphs in Old Yeller, well, from your side it would be like this, where they only accelerate a while and then they decelerate. Well, I was putting in the same first and second calls and routes as I was in sprints. And so percent early, which was the energy distribution number of the day, percent early was like, you know, you'd get phenomenal difference, like, you know, 60-point differences in percent early. I took that as confirmation of what he'd written. Whoa, look at the difference. Yeah, boy, I can see there is a heck of a difference here between these routers and these spreaders. Boy, do they distribute their energy differently. So for about 3.5 or 4 weeks until I finally found out where the second call was in a route, that was my model. So I was looking for, like, you know, 76.5% early energy. Well, you know, for 3.5 weeks, 76.5% early energy, just won races. It was so good. People say sometimes it's better to be lucky than smart. Better than that, be consistent. Understand that if you're determined to win and you figure this is going to do it, you'll do it. There's a little aspect of Dumbo's feather in just about anything human beings do. Bernie Siegel's book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, says there's a difference between people who go into remission from cancer and people who succumb more rapidly than they were even told they might. And it's hope. That's the different ingredient. Something internal. People who've come out of prisoner or war camps, who've had things going internally, have overcome the experience. There was an Army captain who was, I believe it was Army captain, who was released after 7.5 years of captivity by North Vietnam. And within a week and a half, he played in a pro-am golf tournament. He did very, very well. He'd been kept in a cell that was about the size of the top of that table. But every day in his mind, he played golf, because that was one thing he figured would keep him from going insane. So he played golf. He played every course he'd ever known in his life. He did a bit of working out to keep his muscle tone. But he mentally played golf day in, day out. He got home. He shot about, I believe he was either 7 or 8 over par. After 7.5 years in a cell the size of the top of that table. Hadn't touched a golf club in all that time, except in his mind. A study was done with basketball players. Three groups were made of these basketball players. One group practiced free shots for about a half hour a day. The other group practiced no free throws at all. Third group practiced free throws only in their minds. They rehearsed it mentally day after day. When all was said and done, the ones who hadn't practiced stunk. The ones who practiced a half hour a day were about 25% better than they had been. The ones who practiced only mentally, when they were finally given a ball and told to shoot, were 24% better at free shots than they had been prior to this experiment. Now, statistically, 24-25%, it's insignificant. There's story after story after story about that. The inner game has more import than the external. And I think that is the spirit of the methodology, that it's something that's in here first. When you have it in here, you'll find that it begins getting manifest out here. It's totally fallacious to think that if you manifest it out here, you'll have it in here somehow. Look at every nation in history that got real big, could buy real expensive toys, but didn't look to this, to the inside. You can't do it that way to here. But in virtually any case, when you first win in here, you watch anybody, you watch any group, when it starts in here, then it starts happening out here. There's sort of a universal law about that, and that may be the closest that I've come to espousing rules within hitting range of Howard Sarton. You know, you mention rules too often around Howard, you're liable to have a pipe thrown across the room at you. Well, let's just say sort of a universal law. It has to start out in here. You have to know, first of all, that there are people who are making what they consider to be real money, betting two horses, 40% of the field, to win. Dutchingham, 60-40. You have to know that there is a real, serious reason why a psychologist and not a mathematician has led people to this point that's never been approached before historically. I take a lot of fun and enjoyment out of the fact that we are doing something. You and we up here, we're doing something that's never been done in history before. Back when I first sent my money to the quote doctor, you know, I got such a laugh out of that because it was professor this and doctor that. I thought, oh boy, you know. Back when I first sent my money to Doc, and took a risk that maybe there'd be something to this. The jury was still out. I mean, a lot of people were confronting him and telling him, can't work, can't work, nope, pace doesn't work, nope, you have to use something different because the racing form variant is notoriously out of whack with reality. Nope, this won't go, that won't go. And they just puff on the pipe and come up with something else insightful. To the point that now, who's the most imitated? The most ripped off. The voice in the wilderness of handicapping. I find that fascinating. Over the years, the people who are working not just to cash some tickets, but to grow as individuals. I've used the metaphor before of the quest. The Arthurian cycle. The people who use this methodology to grow as individuals are going to find themselves and those around them better off for it. If parimutuel wagering and horse racing vanished tomorrow, I would still be rich. Not in terms of cash, because that's so transitory, but rich in my understanding of me. Rich in my appreciation of the capacity of human beings to change, which is something that I hope you believe in, because that's That's integral to having autonomy. If you think you're the way you are because of genetics or because of your environment, and it's an absolutely irreversible situation, well, you're probably sitting in the wrong room. Go someplace where people want to stand up and say, I'm a loser and I'm going to be that way forever. I'll punch against the wall a little bit, but I'll be that way forever. Cancel that stuff. If you understand yourself capable of human change, humanly capable, because to be a human being isn't just to look like one, but to act like one. If you understand yourself, and when you understand yourself, to be capable of change, then this methodology is not just limited to winning at the track, to putting money in your pocket, to benefiting yourself in the material ways. But what you find is that you become such a winner that, yeah, you take a couple of beatings and a couple of races. No big deal. Yeah, the tab comes for dinner and you say, excuse me, I'll take that. The situation arises where you've got the chance either to go to the track or to stay there with your family, maybe, and you haven't seen them in a while, and you're such a winner, you can say, I'm not obsessive compulsive, I'll stay with my family this time. To where you're enough of a winner, you can begin to sort your priorities and your values out and find out what is the most important. Again, when we're very relaxed, we do this best. Close your eyes, relax, and think about what's most important in your life. And when you do that, you may get a flash. You may get some insight. You'll certainly be better off than what most folks are, which is not knowing what's most important. It's all external to them. This methodology can open a door. It's opened many so far, but it can open a door for you too. To the full extent that you utilize the reality of the methodology, not just the externalities of it, to the full extent that you understand that there's a forest here, it's not just a collection of trees, to the full understanding, to the full extent that you understand the human capacity for change, that we are not locked in irrevocably to anything, to the fuller extent that you understand that winning starts in here and then shares itself. And as it shares itself, as it moves out from in here, you find that all kinds of things, all sorts of abundant things begin just coming into reality around you. Focus on the winners. Don't focus on the mathematics. Focus on your strengths. The strength that you have to analyze if exotics are taking your bankroll. The strengths you have to analyze what is real money. The strengths you have to absorb the essence of the methodology. And understand, too, that nobody is more intimately concerned with your success than Howard Sartin, Perko Charter, and teaching members. I don't even know the prices of programs. I don't know what books or manuals cost. I don't get anything from those. I'll flog my tapes. I get something from those. My relaxation tapes. I'll do that shamelessly because they're very valuable. They're very helpful to people. But the rest of the stuff, all the methodology things, I don't even know the prices. I don't care whether you buy this or buy that. What I want is your success. Because to the extent you succeed, I can say, hey, I'm a pretty good teacher. I can understand that I've helped somebody along the way, which to me is success. Howard Sartin cares passionately about how many people succeed with this methodology, because that's his success. He has made more of a dent in the statistics of winners and losers at the track than any human being in history. Now, that's a monumental thing to have done. He's created more tools, he and Jim and Bob, and more tools have been created through Perko and in Perko to help you become a winner than has ever been done in human history. If one of them confuses you, don't worry. It's not the latest, best, only, whatever. It's one more footnote on Old Yeller. So if one of them doesn't either attract you or one of them confuses you or whatever, don't worry about that. Take what you can from it, like the business of, if you don't want to manufacture pace lines, take the essence of the fact that Jim lived by his wits. He did what it took. He used what was there. And flourish. I love my association with Perco. It's exciting to me. It's provided opportunities of all sorts that I never would have had otherwise. I owe a tremendous debt to this man. And I'm happily here in a small attempt to repay some of it. I also happily receive phone calls, preferably before 9:30 at night, preferably after 7:30 in the morning. But I happily receive phone calls. Because I serve two churches, I'm out. I mean, that's, you know, fair's fair. I'm not there all the time for your calls. But I love talking to you. I love to be able to be of help. And that's why I'm in the profession that I'm in. Because I like that. I get off on that. You're not a bother. Well, one or two of you, maybe. No, I'm kidding. I've had calls that were bothers, but no, you know, I like it. I like hearing from you because your success is my success. That's important to me. It's important to you that you know you can call. Any of us, really. That's an important thing. If you call, by the way, and a woman answers the phone, it's not a church secretary and you have to go, this is about, you know, say Perco. Be proud of that. Howard said years ago, and I've never forgotten this, you watch two people walk in to a magazine news place, you know, and the two guys, they both have ties on, both have jackets on, look just the same. One gets a Wall Street Journal, and he walks out proudly. The other one picks up a racing form, and he... I live in a very small town, and I am known as the guy for whom they saved the form down at the Mobile Mart. I'm happy about that. I've used racing form analogies in sermons. I'm happy about it. It's not the church secretary, it's my wife. I'm in way too small an operation to have a secretary in the church. So, you know, you can talk to Joanne, tell her who you are, why you're calling. She'll give you probably pretty good advice on when I'll be back so you can call and not waste a call. We're here for you. We're here to win. Your winning makes us even more winners. Which I love. It's a win-win situation. Anyway, I can be of help. If you have questions about the tape, by the way, those of you that do have the tape, or if you'd like the tape, if you have questions about the best way to use it, there's an article that's going to be in the follow-up. I understand. I've given it to Dick. The last issue of the year, which will be very specific for Perco, how do you use this thing? It isn't just turn it on and you know, start handicapping. It's different than that. It's a tutorial, but it's to teach you how to relax and how to get to a level where you can begin doing your own programming of this biocomputer brain we have. Okay, so any way that I can be of help with that, let me know. There is a possibility. I did teach 2 years ago. I taught the Silva class out here, and I was just talking with a couple of folks last night about maybe doing another Sergeant Silva class out west, which I would love to do. So, you know, there are possibilities like that we can talk about, too. We're here for you. I know this is, you know, we're winding down on the clock of the activities today, and I want to have Bob have a chance to do something. First time I ever saw a copy of Synergism, I told him yesterday that I'd never made more money in my life than letting that thing do its own adjustments and just keep cooking. He amazes me, the fact that anybody could have that much blood in his alcohol system and still function. I was surprised that, you know, that Howard didn't call things, you know, have a start here like at 7:30, because I know, especially on a Sunday morning, Bob Purdy likes to be up, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and, you know, hit the decks running early. He's up there at dawn doing Tai Chi and stuff, you know. So I know he's up next. What is that you're drinking, Bob? Is that 40-weight coffee, I think. Okie doke. I have, from time to time myself, supported the old economy in Scotland.
The church is calling.
Is it? Here comes the elder now. They're on the line. They're missing a pastor. Argyle? That's the Sox. I cheerfully surrendered my post up here, and thank you very much.
I thought he was going to quit when he talked about our monumental contributions to history and everything. Then he, hey, I'm glad to see you bringing up all these questions, because I'm going to take them, and some of them are written in a handwriting a little unfamiliar. Let's take a 7-8 minute break here and get some coffee or whatever you want to do, and we'll be back to make it maximum. I can't imagine why a checkout at noon in a resort play town like this. Up in Beaumont, you not check out till 3. nobody checks in, but boy, if you... Okay, folks, would you like to get back in your seats? Because especially those of you who have... I cannot help but remember my New Testament, where it said, "Let he who is without guilt cast the first stone." I thought that was terrible to suggest that Bob Purdy had anything in his cup but coffee. So the Reverend Burt casting a stone on my adopted son. I've known him for many years. I've never known him to drink before 8 in the morning. Several years ago, we announced that we were producing the Last Velocity program. And we would try to make it kind of the gateway to advanced thinking, because we felt that since everybody, as Bert kind of mentioned, has been ripping us off since 1983, that we would try to confuse the public. And at that time, we came up with what we called a synergetic matching of various factors into an energy mechanism that would supply all the power that velocity could give you. And synergism was a reenacting interaction of forces, provided that first glimpse at velocity. We had ultrascan, which was not so much velocity. The first glimpse of velocity, numerically stated, that took into consideration more factors than the public was able to steal. And we protected that program. You can't hear me? Oh my God, we protected synergism by making it supposedly non-copyable. But we, the first person who was able to crack it was named George Green, who was famous for stealing things like that. And so synergism lost its unique edge. But Bob Purdy is like Sir James Hillary, too. If there's a mountain there, he's going to climb it. So when the original synergism was cracked and dispensed by pirates, Bob produced Synergism 3. And undaunted by the fact that a few people just didn't do as well as they might have. There's always some losers, but Bob's kind of like me. He can't stand to see anybody lose. So he went back to work. And now he has produced a program which, by his own announcement, it's designed for those who seek professionalism in this field and for those who are number-oriented, who want to get a relatively fast, quick, but thoroughly synergetic look at a race. So he's now produced a new version of Synergism, which he'll present to you right now. Here he comes. Straight as an arrow. Bright-eyed. Bob Purdy.
I want to clear something up, especially for you. I'm going to put this in there. I want to clear something up about this program right away. You're going to see a different printout. The fractions and final time are in time rather than velocity, but we haven't deviated from our feet per second method here. All of the calculations that are done internally by the program are done in feet per second. So we get the accuracy of the feet per second velocity rating. Only after all of that is done, we convert it back to time for your convenience. So you can see it. Instead of seeing a fraction of 56.58 and wondering what that is, we put it in 22.6 or 7 or whatever. The fractions are in tenths. Just makes it a little easier for you to look at it. You get your turn time to look at it. We have not deviated from the method that Howard's worked so many years to improve time and time again. All of these programs are based on feet per second, one way or another, and that includes Synergism 3. So as long as you understand that, we have not deviated from everything that Howard's done all these years. Okay, let's get started. Do you guys really want to see this? You've seen so many programs. Spencer, you want to go ahead and load that up? I can't see the screen, Spencer, but is it up and running? No, not yet.
You can talk.
That's what you say. Okay. You'll notice that the first thing that happens when you fire up the program, it loads the part-time file. This particular part-time file happens to be Dave Schwartz's, but you can't. Well, somebody's going to have to turn the lights down. You're still doing that, Spencer. I'm told we have to be out of here by Wednesday.
Which way?
In any case, you'll see when he, if and when he ever gets it up and running, it'll tell you how many part-times have been loaded. These part-times are not used for the adjustment process. You've seen the really neat sprint-around formulas that Tom Hamilton and others have worked on, where we use the multipliers for sprint-around stretch-out horses. So what I've done is just put the part-times in here so you don't have to manually do that. It'll do it for you. What this part-time file also holds is the 3-year best records that are available. This file is editable so that you can put in your own numbers. You'll be able to make changes for your own track, set up the 3-year best in January when they publish them, come out with new records. The 3-year best is used.